indicated earlier, we're skipping for the moment the number 4 case listed on the calendar, and we'll go to cases 5 and 6, U.S. against Hill and Kiez-Rivera. Those are 18-31-64, 18-24-60, and 18-24-61. Counsel?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Colleen Remy, and I represent Mr. Hill. And did the court want me to argue both cases at once?
I think that might make the most sense here.
Might be prudent.
So,
right.
Okay.
Thank you.
See the government is nodding. I don't hear anybody objecting. So,
great.
Given the similarity of the cases, please go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. This case, these cases are fairly straightforward. The district court circulated a list of proposed supervised release conditions to the parties. I have no reason to think it didn't get circulated. No one objected to the circulation or proposed conditions. And then the court orally adopted them by reference, simply saying, I'm going to impose these cases. In Mr. Hill's case, there was an explicit waiver of the reading of the conditions. Mr. Hill doesn't argue that that was improper in any form. In Mr. Rivera-Quiles' case, that was not made explicit, but the underlying issue when the opening brief was written was that because the judge didn't file the circulated proposed conditions, there was no way to verify that the written judgment matched the oral judgment of the court. And that clearly creates a procedural problem, and it makes plenary review of the sentence and the judgment impossible. So that was the procedural error that was identified. After the brief was filed, the district court, of course, supplemented the record in both cases, and once I was able to review the conditions that were circulated, they did match the conditions that were imposed in the judgment and substantially cured this procedural problem. It appears to me that the judge, the district court, was attempting to comply with Block. The procedure seems fairly straightforward and helpful to defendants to circulate these ahead of time so that everyone is on the same page, and really the only issue is the filing of those conditions. And so since this is apparently a recurring issue in that it came up in two cases, we would just ask that the district courts just sort of be reminded potentially to make sure that they make those conditions record in the
case.
Should
we send a letter rather than write an opinion?
Your Honor, that would be entirely at your discretion. I just, at this point, the issue has been cured by the subsequent actions of the district court.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
For the government.
May it please the court, Rebecca Tableson on behalf of the United States. There is no longer a live dispute between the parties, as is reflected in Mr. May's comments and in the reply briefs. As a result, there is no active case or controversy here. Neither appellant seeks resentencing, full or partial. The instructions that they seek, to be clear, would not in any way prejudice the government, but they would likely violate Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution as advisory opinions. And as a result, the government would urge this court to simply affirm the decisions below or dismiss both appeals as moot. To the extent the court has questions about the district court's regular procedures here, I can answer some of those. So generally what happens is before the sentencing is called, the district court circulates a list of conditions to all the parties. It's almost always on a bright yellow sheet. That list of conditions, as Ms. Remy points out, is not typically filed.
Are we talking here about Judge Stadmuller in particular or the Eastern District of Wisconsin?
We're talking about Judge Stadmuller specifically. Mm-hmm. Each of our judges has a slightly different procedure in this regard. This document is, as Ms. Romaine noted, not typically filed on the docket. It was in these appeals only because the government moved to supplement the record for this court's benefit. But the procedures that this court has discussed with respect to providing notice of supervised release conditions in this court's precedents have focused on providing notice to the defendant and to the parties, not to the public. And indeed, pre-sentence reports, which are on the docket and do contain supervised release conditions, those are under seal. So nobody has access to those other than the parties and their attorneys. And so handing out this yellow sheet in advance of sentencing accomplishes, in practical effect, the same thing as having a sealed pre-sentence report on the docket. The parties and their attorneys retain these, and it's quite an easy matter to confirm, as we did in this case, that the conditions on this yellow sheet match those in the written judgment. And so, as Mr. May noted, this procedure reflects the district court judge's good faith efforts to follow the best practices outlined by this court and to provide the defendants notice and of the conditions, and these conditions are often less restrictive than those proposed in the PSR, so they're often favorable to the defendants. So again, this is the government almost has no dog in this particular fight of as to whether they're on the docket or not, but to the extent that's helpful to the court and it's any concern about these procedures, that is the law. If the court has no further questions, we ask that you affirm the decisions below or dismiss these appeals. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Ms. Tableson. Anything further, Ms. Romay?
Your Honors, I just wanted to clarify that the issue comes in, as Ms. Tableson noted, that when these are not filed as a matter of course, especially for appellate counsel who wasn't at the hearing, does not have a copy of it because it's not on the record. I did reach out to trial counsel in both of these cases, and neither of them still had the document prior to filing the brief. So it does make just confirmation of that impossible. And so to the extent that it is a continuing practice by the district court, our recommendation would simply be that the court be instructed to make a concrete record of that, whether it's under seal or not.
Thank you, Ms. Romay.
Thank you, Your Honors.
All right. Those cases are taken under advisement. That is both U.S. against Hill and U.S. against Kiez-Rivera. We'll move on.